Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 p.m., and we're happy to be with everyone. Hi, James.
Hello.
Say hi to everyone. Who are you?
James Rich.
Amen. And I'm Luann Linneken, and we are...
The Odd Couple.
Yeah. Kingdom Recovery. And it's a program that really is about kingdom mentality and how we can... experience God's word in our life today as it pertains to, you know, some of our struggles, our, you know, conflict in the mind, in our bodies, in our spirit, well, our hearts, I will say, you know, when and how we can actually know the word and then be the word and do the word so that we can rise above all the conflicts and turmoil and things in our life that try to keep us from the word. Right, James?
Amen.
So it's a kingdom mentality because we're kingdom citizens. And that's the way when someone says, oh, you know, like, what are you a Christian? I said, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm really a citizen of the kingdom of heaven because it's a whole other level.
I'm a son of God.
Yeah, son of God.
You see, I'm a prophet. I'm an apostle. I'm the son.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
It's like the son owns everything.
Yeah, amen. You know? That's right. And that's the most important thing when we make him our Lord.
Amen.
And owner of
I mean, you're
all
worried about
things.
Titles once you know
that's
who
right.
you're.
That's right.
Your son.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why, because it opens up a door to be able to talk about the kingdom. So I purposely say I'm a... you know, a kingdom citizen, because it kind of gets people like, well, what does that mean? And then you can say, well, the kingdom of heaven is like.
Amen.
Amen. And then talking about kingdom recovery. And when I say the word kingdom recovery, and I'll keep saying it over and over again, because sometimes I am recovered. I'm healed. I'm whole. If I do attend a 12-step meeting or anything, you know, if I go to a doctor's office and they want to try to label something, I am healed. I am whole. And I don't receive it. I declare that I am a member of whatever program I'm attending. I'm grateful, you know, to be there and be part of something with other people. But I don't declare myself to be anything that's not how God created me to be or who God created me to be. So just if that helps anybody out there, you know, because I know there's a struggle sometimes because I'm individually, we are recovered. Kingdom recovery is about bringing the kingdom into territories and recovering the kingdom into territories as it is in heaven here on earth. So when we say that, kingdom recovery, we're talking about taking ownership, first of all, of your mind, right? Your will and emotions by being a citizen of the kingdom. And I believe that that was what God intended for 12-step programs, for everything, our medical, you know, man got involved and things get a little distorted, but the original intent was to declare the kingdom of God, really, in all these areas, even in our everything, all of life. And that's what God's trying to do through us, through each person who says yes to him. So we are talking about the 12th step of the program, of 12-step program. And let me just read the 12th step for everybody. It's having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry out this message. But let me read it perfectly so that I'm not making something up here. Hold on. Let me see. Well, I don't have it off hand right now, but I have it in the big book. Because I have the Bible, and because I'm going to be reading a little bit of what the big book says. So I'll read that in a little bit. But we are talking about the 12-step and carrying the message out to other people who are still sick and suffering, not only in addictions, but in emotions, in relationships, in finances, in every area of their life. it's once we get the revelation of God's purposes in our life and his plan and purposes for each individual. We each have one. He has one for each and every one of us, assignments. And when we surrender and we say yes to him, that's the third step, right? He starts to cultivate his character inside of us, which are the other steps, 4 through 9, I would say, you know, because now we're making amends before we can even help other people. We have to be clean in our hearts. You know, we have to not have offense. We can't. It's hard to help another person when we're always upset about stuff going on in our truly help. I mean, we could by works, but not by a heart posture, sincerely. All right. So we ended last week at 1 Corinthians 13. I think I read that, and then we kind of like ended a little bit. I spoke a little bit about it. So I want to start there. Did you want to say anything, James, before we start?
You go ahead and start there.
Okay. So we were talking, we had talked about the fruit of the Spirit too, and that was love, joy, and that's God's reflection. It's who he is inside of us as we grow and cultivate through the, you know, even whatever it is, our walk with God as we come into the kingdom. We all are little newborn babies, and we have to grow. And this is parts, these are like ways and processes that we go through as we mature spiritually, right? So 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about the greatest gift being love. And it also talks about, it describes the excellence of love, what love looks like in action.
I'd like to add in as you go on that.
Sure, yeah. So I'll start reading. So though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned or martyred, but have not love, it profits me nothing.
Can I just
add in? Go right ahead.
Okay, now think about what that's actually saying. If you had the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. So imagine if you had this to the point that every church is trying to get you to come and you're booked up for 5 years in advance. The TV shows are wanting you on because you have all knowledge and you just understand all mysteries and you're just booked. And you have faith that you could pray and a mountain would move. They're calling you in to pray out storms and so on. It's just everybody's calling at you. But if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. Mm-hmm. It says, and you bestowed all your goods to feed the poor. And though I gave my body to be burned. So imagine if you gave everything away and moved to a third world country, preaching the gospel, and they tied you up and said, you deny Christ or you're going to burn. And then they pour gas over you, set you on fire. You burn to death and you stand before the Lord. And he says, you had not love, so it profits you nothing. I mean, these are big statements here in that those verses.
Amen.
So go ahead with the.
Okay. So I'm at 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. You want to say something?
Yeah, because a lot of people try to say, well, when the Bible came, that's what the perfect thing was. It's coming and the gifts are passed away and prophecies passed away. And, well, this says knowledge will pass away. Do we think all knowledge is passed away?
Right.
And this is speaking of the coming of Christ. That's which perfect comes. Then we won't need to prophesy. Then we won't need to pray in tongues. Because we will be with the Lord. He shall be here. So this stuff has not passed away, and God is using it mightily. I've seen many miracles and healings.
Amen. So when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am, as I also am known. Amen. And now abide
these three,
yeah. Faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest is love. And what is abide? And this is so important because the Bible talks about abiding in the Lord and all that. It means to accept or act in accordance with God's law, commandment. And this is what iniquity goes against. That's what James and I were talking about it. We actually were going deeper in the word iniquity to be clear when we were talking also, because it's a constant learning, you know, and it means to accordance with God's law, commandments, his rule, his decisions or recommendations to love. So when James says, but you had not loved, you know, when he was referring to that scripture, that part, it's we can't love. God's love is different than any kind of love we can come up with. So if we don't follow in obedience his way, his will to express himself through love, then we have not loved, is what James was saying. It's what the Bible says. And it's abiding in his love, faith, and hope. It's to be able to accept it and act according to his faith, his hope, his love, not natural faith, joy, hope, love.
The National Weather Service in Melbourne has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for southwestern St. Lucie County in east central Florida, southeastern Okeechobee County in east central Florida, northwestern Martin County in east central Florida, until 5:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At 5:11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located near Four Seasons Estates, or near Treasure Island, moving southeast at 10 miles per hour. Hazard, 60 miles per hour wind gusts and half-dollar size hail. Source, radar indicated. Impact, hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include Treasure Island, Okeechobee, Four Seasons Estates, and Taylor Creek. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building. Prepare immediately for large hail and deadly cloud-to-ground lightning. Seek shelter inside a well-built structure. Stay away from windows.
But it's a total needy form of love that's the opposite of God's love. God's love is a giving love. We prove it when we get mad at someone that we think we love. God's love can't get mad at someone. God's love takes no offense. God's love is long-suffering. I'll just stop there for now. I have some stuff up.
All right. So whenever you need to interject, you just let me know. So when we're talking about this scripture, is about the character of God's love, not man's love, God's love. And he not only tells us about what love is, but he tells us what love is not. And I really can identify with what love is not, because that's what I was.
And
I could sometimes still be in that. So I'm not in love. So God gives us the answers to love, you know?
Sometimes we can tell by our prayer life.
Yeah. Amen.
When we pray, is it my needs and my family, my situation is totally, you know, and that's where we start out. I'm just saying, but this unloving spirit is like born into everyone since the fall of Adam. Mm-hmm. And it's just a total opposite of that. That's why I like charity in the King James, because God's love is a giving love. It's
all
not about what I'm getting.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that when we say that, you know, God doesn't get, he's a giver, he doesn't get angry or anything. We're saying everything he does is out of love. It's out of trying to get you something, you to something that he's already given you. It's never because he's going to punish you or take something away. He's trying to always pour it on you, in you, through you, all the promises, all the goodness. God is good. Okay? So if there is a judgment.
Or a correction.
Or a correction, correct. That's out of love. It's out of he wants more for you. Not because he wants to punish you, but he wants to actually pour it into you. All that he is, right?
Even his love and long term is protection.
Yes.
It's I'm saying when he corrects you, it's loving, even though it can be he has got very stern sometimes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like scary, but and that's depends where you're walking with him. But even that is because he's protecting you from something you don't even know you're walking into or whatever.
That's right. That's right. So God tells us that if our actions are not motivated by love, the love that we just read about, his love, they are worthless, even if they appear to be worthwhile. And sometimes we go by feelings and express, we think because we're going by feelings, we're expressing our love. But it's through feelings that the enemy deceives us. So we have to take captive our thoughts and check on the motive of our heart. That's why God says, be diligent, because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy love and distort love.
And that's where the unloving spirit works, is that needy love. Mm-hmm. And it feels so much like love. And I had someone recently, moving that's, I love this person. I've never been in love before. And I kept saying, just know that, all that thing you're feeling there, I'm not saying whether you're to be with him or not to be with him. I'm just telling you that is a sensual realm thing that wasn't here before the fall of Adam. That whole thing you're feeling there, don't base anything. You need to slow down, let things play out or whatever. Don't base that on being God, because the enemy uses that thing. I didn't say that to him, but I'm like,
no, yeah.
That's where he works.
Right. Well,
hot and on fire and then married, so, and then you're like,
but
sorry,
that's when God can use us, because we see or hear. I'm going to share a story too, so discernment, and then what to pray for somebody, or where they're really stuck, or maybe where they need more love in that area, but so I am planning a bridal shower for my daughter, and I sent out invitations, but I know nothing. I've been out of the loop. I can't even tell you the last time I went to a bridal shower, Not even as a, I'm just so far out of it, right? And so the younger, my sister, and she's younger than me by like 11 years, and her kids they're all going to showers and everything. My sister's still in that whole thing, and, all my cousins that are that age. And they called me, and told me that I had to put in the invitation, please wrap gifts in clear wrapping. So I responded like, what does that even mean? Right? Because nobody unwraps gifts. When I used to go to, I know we're on this little thing, but there's a point. When I would go to bridal parties, showers, right, mine, we would unwrap the gifts there with everybody. They don't do that because it takes so long and people don't, want to see all that. But the first thing that came into my heart, like a little, God was, I guess, just revealing something, was that's because people want other people to know what they got them. Since they're not going to open the gifts and, whoa, it's really for the people there to show other people, like, look what I got. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I'm not condemning anybody. But it was like the thought, like, oh my God, pride is so subtle. I want everyone to know I got a gift. I got a really good gift. I got, something, special, something different, whatever. Because I know that's the way I was. And I could be that way. So it was like a correction to me. You remember when you used to do it? That's the way you were doing it,
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, well, if it was pride, that's better than manipulation. Like, it's going to be clear, so you better bring something good because everybody's going to see what you gave me.
Well, that might be in there too. I don't know. But so, something? The only person that called me and sent me a picture of, like, what is this? was my daughter. She's like, what is this? It makes no sense. Our friends. I said, praise the Lord. That means there's no pride. I was thinking, oh my God, she thinks clear, you know, because I was like, I had the same question, but I explained it to her a little. But it was hilarious to me because it was a correction on me. You remember when you used to want to let everybody open your gift? Because I was guilty, you know? And today I could care less. I just want the person to be happy and, you know, and it doesn't, I'm not saying that you're a bad person if, you know, because it's nice to give gifts and it's nice to see a response from somebody. You just took me to myself.
It's nice for them to have to wait to open them too to see what it is.
He was teaching me about me. I just thought I'd share it with everybody. You know, if we're not doing it in the right heart posture, then it's not coming out. It's not eternal God love. So it also states that scripture, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, that love endures all things and that love never fails, both of which seem hard to achieve, but they are possible. So whenever I'm feeling defeated in a situation, my first question is, how can I love God? Show me how I can love this, because it covers it. You know, it's hard to fight against love. It really is. You know, even if you don't want to receive it in that moment, it does something. It shifts. Even if you depart and the other person expressed love, that's the last impression. And it will make an impression in the heart eventually. It's like a seed being thrown out. So I believe it's our measure. I shared that last week about what God asked us, you know, did I love? How did you love? Did you love? Did you experience love? Did you give love? So God defines love by knowing Jesus. To know Jesus is to know love, God, right? So 1 John 4:8-9 says, the one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him. And this is the Amplified, and I shared it. I think it's a little bit more detailed so that we can identify better. For God is love. He is the originator of love. So no matter who I go to outside to know about love, to receive love, to experience love, to be taught love, is not the originator of love. It's not. If it's not God, something's a little bit off. It should be scripture. It should be from God. God will teach you, lead you, and guide you. And it is an enduring attribute of his nature. By this, the love of God was displayed in us, in that God has sent his one and only begotten Son, the one who is truly unique, the one, the only one of his kind, into the world so that we might live through him and experience his love and witness his love. So we have an example in Jesus of what God's love looks like manifested on the earth. Hallelujah. So God gave us Jesus, his love. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we were restored back to the Father's love. Hallelujah. With him, in him, and through him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to be in a love relationship with God and others through God's love. That's what connects us. That's the harmony, charity, unity. It's making love, spiritual love here. It's creating. Making is creating. So when people say the truth sets me free, I like the truth makes me free. The original, well, that's in the King James and the New King James, makes me free, because making is developing, it's process, it's creating. So you want to create love. And that's also, if we want to relate it to 12 steps, we can say that in that fourth step, that third column, the third list that we make, harms done to others, sex harms, is, we say sex harms, it's producing, it's production. We are created to grow and produce and multiply. God says, be fruitful and multiply. So that last column, harms done to others, sex harms, it stops us from producing with others. And I believe that stops us from making love, spiritual love, physical love, contact with people, producing love, multiplying love. So John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And I just want to say, due to the nature of the weekend, that I believe that there are a lot of people who serve who experience this too. You know, they serve and they lay down their life for our country, for the people in our country. That's it's a special heart. It's a heart position to be able to do that. So Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God. And the Son is in the Word. Jesus is the Word, the way of God, the life of God, and the truth of God, who loved me and gave charity, love, himself, his love, himself, up for me. Hallelujah. Right? So, and I read that out of the Amplified, because the Amplified, I believe, is a little bit more descriptive, and it helps us see a little more into detail. So, and the New King James says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is so important, because even Pastor Tom, and I just want to put that in there, go on mytcvc.com, I think it is. You can go on the website. You can look at our daily readings. He takes scripture, and then he'll explain scripture. He'll do a commentary about it. And today is about dying to the flesh. I die to myself. I die daily. And that's not constantly. If we were crucified, we have to just remember that the old man is no longer alive, dead, done. Every day I need to be aware of that, so that I don't start acting and talking and behaving out of that place. And I can stay in Christ and be the new creation that God created me to be, the original man, human, that he created us to be in his image and likeness. That's who I want to be expressed out of my vessel. I want him to be expressed out of my vessel. So stop believing the worldly lies and man's ideas of what love is. That's false doctrine and the alternative of God's word to fit our satisfaction. God wants me to be happy, even if I sin. That's a lie. A lot of people say that. I deal with some women that say, well, you know, he's a Christian, and, you know, God wants me to be with somebody and happy, but God's not going to cause us to sin or bring sin upon us so that we can receive what he already did. It was sinless. You know, that's how you get it. But he's not going to cause us to sin to get what he already did for us. Hallelujah. He bore all our sins and sicknesses and everything so that we can freely receive, freely be given everything he did. So false love is loving with conditions that are purposed to satisfy self. So some of those purposes to satisfy self could be fear of being alone, or they're going to are they going to love me, like me, accept me? Sometimes the satisfactions, satisfying self in lust or greed or envy, those are the spirits that can manipulate the way we love and not love out of God's heart, his character, his seed. So even though we don't think so, because we don't know the Father's love, because we can't, if we know that we're not loving correctly, we'll get conviction. You'll get a repentive heart. That, you know, the fruit of a man is how you know. Once the Holy Spirit comes in, invades your heart, you're going to start changing. Praise the Lord. And that's what the fruit come in and gifts and all that other stuff is identification of, have you surrendered and made Jesus Christ your Lord? Not only your Savior, but your Lord. That means owner of everything. And if so, then he will come into your heart. Holy Spirit comes in and starts to transform your heart from a hard heart to a soft heart, to a tender heart, to a loving heart, to a giving heart, a charitable heart. So so we might not think so because we don't really know the Father's love. So we justify it, or we get manipulated easy. We don't get convicted because we're dark in that area. We're ignorant in that area. So we need to sit with the Lord and know His word, hear His word, read His word, see His word, walk His word, talk His word. All right? Because it's anything else outside of Him. If we're not sold out to Him, we're sold out to what man defines as love to be. And that's false doctrine. And that's false ideas. That's God's. So I had to abandon the world's ideas, beliefs, traditions, give myself up to His way, His will, His truth, His life, the Word of God, as it also states in A Vision for You in AA. And that's on, and this is how close, this is why I believe, you know, God uses me to be an interpreter of 12-step and therapeutic terminology, because I see the word in it, and I see where, you know, some scriptures and everything. So I believe I'm an interpreter. Like, I'm in a foreign country and I'm teaching, you know, interpreting for people. So it says on page 164, and I suggest if people do have a big book that they should read it, because if you're reading the word, you're going to relate to it differently if you apply the word in this book, if you're using this book. So on page 151 through 164, I'm going to read the last paragraph, one of the last paragraphs, the last paragraph on page 164. It says, abandon yourself to God as you understand Him, God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. It's everything all in one, what God says. Confess your sins. And to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge, meaning it's not always going to be easy. It's hard when you're trudging. It means the road can get sometimes harder. The road of happy destiny, but you know you're on the right road. That's the joy of the Lord, right? That's how what Jesus felt when He was on the cross. He was doing the right thing. There was joy. So may God bless you and keep you until then. That's from 12-step literature. So it's very scriptural. You can hear many scriptures in that one. And it's also, you can hear all 12 steps in that one paragraph. And I hear a lot of scripture in that paragraph. So I suggest that people, you know, kind of put them parallel. So you can see the root is coming from the Bible. Even in therapy, even in medical conditions, everything is rooted out of the Bible. If you know Him, you'll see where the seed comes, what seed it comes from, the seed of the Word of God or the seed of the world, the big book, I guess. Well, isn't it ironic how they call it the big book? This is the big, big book, the Bible, but they call it, I mean, you see the comparisons, you know, we got to rise above, because people get stuck and think that AA saved me or my therapist saved me or my doctor. And we have to give the glory to God. God created each one of those things, those people, places, and things He created. And I want to go to the Creator. I don't want to go to, I always say, if I'm going to get a heart surgery, I want the heart surgeon to operate on me, not the beautiful nurse that helped me, not the anesthesia that's going to make sure I don't feel it. None of them. I want the heart doctor, right? All those people are wonderful, and they care for me, and they're preparing me for something. But the heart doctor is who's going to do the work in me. Hallelujah, right? So with that, we will, I wanted to read the 12 steps. It says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics. I always use, especially those who are still sick and suffering spiritually, mentally, physically, to practice these principles in all our affairs. Hallelujah. So some of the stuff that we want to talk a little bit about the unloving spirit. James? We'll get into that a little bit. But before, do you want me to share this? I'll share it when we get into the fruits.
It's up to you.
Well, I think we should talk about the unloving, so that people can recognize how cunning the unloving spirit is and subtle. Do you want to start, or you want me to start with Matthew? Because I'm going to talk a little bit about, keep going. I just want to say the unloving spirit promotes self-hatred, guilt, shame, remorse, keeping us from the sunlight of the Father, of God. That's what the unloving spirit is. Pride, unloving, it's Satan. He opposes God on everything. Everything that God does, he opposes, especially love. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy us from love, because that's what we've been searching for our whole lives. And until I received Jesus and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was looking for love in all the wrong places: security, comfort, healing, all of it. And it's all in the package of love, his heart, the heart of love. So,
all right, and I had talked a little about it. The greatest commandment is about love. That's why Satan tries so hard to keep us from walking in God's love. The unloving spirit is a counterfeit love that's just the opposite of God's love. We are to love God, love others, and love ourselves. When you pray, are all your prayers about yourself, your family, your situations? Is it hard for you to care about other people's day and how they're doing? Are you upset when you don't get your way? How much time do you spend helping others? The unloving spirit keeps us focused on ourselves. He'll keep you in a need for love for the rest of your life if you let him. And if you don't take a strong stance against him, you'll never get free. The unloving spirit carries a torment with him that no other spirit can accomplish. He can take you to a very dark place of depression, hopelessness, and even suicide. And he's behind all suicides. Well, 99% of them. He's here to attack you anytime something bad happens. If you have the loss of a loved one or a parent, a child, or he will attack you and make it 100 times worse. And if you don't know he's doing it, you'll just assume it's you. The enemy attacks us a lot by giving us thoughts that we think are our own thoughts. And we just take the hook. Anytime you, different spirits have different things they say. And the unloving spirit will constantly say, what if? And it's always projected to the past. If what if I'd married him instead of him, or her instead of her? What if I'd had different parents? What if I hadn't messed up that time that took me down this trail? It just wants to constantly keep you like stuck, because you think if you change your past, which you can't do, you think it'd be different. Yeah. Instead of if you woke up with amnesia and forgot it all and just went out and someone told you, no, you're a real wealthy guy, and you just started thinking your whole life could change. And you can change your life today. I'm here to tell you.
Amen.
It's just all the mind. And if you hear what if about the future, like what if I lose my job and so on? What if my spouse leaves? What if I get sick? What if I have something when I go to the doctor? That's all the spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. So what if in the future is fear? What if in the past is the spirit of self, unloving spirit, which self-pity runs
right,
under.
Right.
He says things like, nobody knows what I'm going through. And you think it's your own self thinking. Nobody cares about me. Nothing ever works out for me. I'm unworthy. I hate myself. Nobody appreciates me. No matter what I do, no one appreciates me. We got to quit listening to him. How you feel. Just say it. How you feel has nothing to do with who you really are. With most single people, they think they just need a spouse and everything would be perfect. And they got this imaginary thing in their head. And the enemy draws you in through that attraction thing. And it looks so perfect. And oh, what a mess. I minister to a lot of people. Satan is so scared of anyone that will deny themselves and walk in God's love. Satan don't care if you put him on the throne of your heart or yourself there, as long as God is not on the throne of your heart. He wants to put something else there. The self-driven personality means you've made yourself a god over God, and it's self-idolatry. The Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. God is a covenant God. As we forgive others and repent of our sins, he forgives us. The gospel is so simple it takes help to misunderstand it. God is love, and you are made in his image. It's just this counterfeit thing that turns everything around and upside down, and it's terrible. It's just, he'll keep you miserable. And in many people, he creates a fabricated personality where they're really miserable when they lay in bed and just like dread. But when they go out, they're dressed to kill. Everything's great. And I mean, talk storm up. And
just a reminder, it's not the person. And I'm going to read the scripture that we don't fight against flesh and blood. It's a spirit. It's the spirits that are invading the territory, God's territory, with permission, because they're legalists, you know. And if we let them, because we're not lining up, we're not obedient in certain areas of our life, they have a legal right to come in and manipulate us.
Yeah, most of them been there since we were, mm-hmm. most of them were born in our generations, sometimes through traumas that happen to us, they get in. So it really feels like it's us. And that whole, I had that unloving spirit so bad. And I was just, I mean, I just go home from school, first grade, and just sit in my room and imagine killing myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the time. It just had, it had eaten my lunch. I didn't even know, you know, I thought that was me. And it wasn't even me. Yeah. Nothing feels better than when that thing comes out.
Amen. I'm going to read.
Yeah, go ahead and read some.
Okay. So 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. This is what James was just sharing. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, very big one, right? Unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Amen. So this is something we need to be aware of. These are characteristics of ungodly spirits that we need to, you know, have an understanding.
You can't get free from anything you don't recognize.
Amen. So. Amen. Or even, you know, believe that
it's... I mean, I was praying and seeing people heal for 13 years and had no idea anything about spirits at all.
Amen.
And when I learned, boy, did I learn.
Yeah.
I got in a situation. I got a lot of deliverance.
Praise God.
I didn't know I had anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, neither did I. And, you know, I mean, I always used to say I was like the living dead. I would say these things, but not really understand them. You know, because my life, I lived in a very dark place, you know, growing up. You know, I chose a lot of drugs, a lot of promiscuity, a lot of violence. I made these decisions because I was looking, I wanted to feel better. I wanted to be something or someone or, you know, and they led me down these choices that I was following. I was chasing a lie. That, you know, if I was tough, if I, you know, I can numb this, I can manipulate sexually with people and get what I wanted. I mean, so many things that I did. You know, I even chose to be homeless rather than, I mean, when I say homeless, I left my home at 18 rather than live by rules. In a house that wasn't even, it was pretty much ruleless. There was just walls, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like
I think rejection was in a lot of that.
Oh my
gosh. You just didn't want to be told what to do.
I didn't want to be told what to do. I didn't want to be accountable. And it was insanity, you know? And it started way earlier. and not because it's anybody's fault, but we had a lot of insane situations in our life, you know, at growing up as a child, things that were out of our control, you know. So and because there wasn't anyone who had a relationship with God, maybe they had some kind of belief, you know, but there was no relationship. It was all the blind leading the blind and doing the best they can. So I hold no, you know, I love every person in my life. But it was not very healthy. You know, it really wasn't. And so, you know, knowing that it was spiritual understanding, I used to say these things before I even knew God, you know, spirit, soul, and body. But I thought spirit was like, you know, I didn't understand. I didn't even understand Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Until I started having a relationship in God, His fullness, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with each part of who He is, you know. But I wanted to say spirits attach itself to the person to make them feel, like you were saying, rejected. Rejection not only of ourselves, rejecting ourselves. It's like we're eating away our own self, but with other people. And it makes us feel unclean. It makes us feel unworthy. It distorts our view, the view of people, places, and things around us. You know, it makes it very easy to blame others. It makes it very easy to not be accountable. And in Ephesians 6:12, and that's where I wanted to read that it's not against flesh and blood. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, iniquity, in the heavenly places. So it's mental torment. And, you know, I don't know. I believe everything starts in the spirit, but we can't always blame the devil for everything. There's some maturity that has to happen in our lives as we walk with God that we have to be accountable to. We can't say, oh, the devil made me do it. If we know better, we do better, period. And if you're struggling in that area, then there might be some adjustments in your life that need to be made, some disciplines, some sacrifices, because that's what keeps us. Or deliverance, right?
If you can't lay something down.
Right. If you can't lay something down, ask somebody for help. Confess to one another. And then lay hands and be delivered. You know? That's how the Bible is real. It really works if you work it. You know, we say that in the big book, in AA. It works if you work it. Well, I'm telling you right now, and that does work if you work it, but you still could be miserable. The Bible works if you work it and you're free. You have unspeakable joy, just beyond any book, beyond any person, beyond any place, beyond anything you can get. The Bible goes beyond it. So I'm going to just say to people that if you're hearing this today, there's a reason, and maybe you need to get in it so you can go beyond it, whatever it is that's trying to get in the Word, so you can go beyond whatever's trying to keep you from being in the Word or applying the Word into your life. Or walking in peace.
Yeah, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil,
Amen.
To give you an expected end. God has never made a mistake. He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. But we got to get that junk out of our head. He'll keep us from our purpose
Amen.
And his plans.
Amen.
Because God has awesome plans for everyone.
Everybody. Start living it, right? So Matthew 22:37-40 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, to love, right? With all of who you are, and the spirit, soul, and body. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, and we keep stressing here. Not stressing out, but stressing, meaning stressing it as a point to those listening, that neighbors don't necessarily mean the people you get along with. You got to love even the ones you don't get along with. And I say it a lot because I had to learn it. Mm-hmm. I really did. I was not a very lovable person. Mm-hmm. And not only, I'm not saying people didn't love me. I mean, I think I was probably the favorite in a lot of my little territories.
Clicks.
Because I, you know, like with my grandparents, with my, you know, because I was also, I would do everything, you know, like, pleaser. So, but I definitely didn't know how to love, you know what I mean, to give it. And today, that's how God uses me. He took my liability and made it an asset. That's what he wants to do. The most unlikely thing we think we can do is probably the best and biggest thing we should be doing for the Lord, you know? And Mark 12, 30, 31 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And Luke 10, 26 through 28 says, what is written in the law is the question that Jesus says. And he replied, what is written in the law? And he replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. He added all of it. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. So it brings life when we love, when we give charity, right? In order for us to love others, we must first love ourselves as God loves us. If I don't believe God loves me first, I don't have the love I need to be able to go around loving people. And it wasn't until that revelation that God loved me and I had everything I needed in that love that freed me to be able to go out and do God's work and do his will and spread the kingdom of heaven wherever I go, you know, and freely without feeling like, you know, are they going to judge me? Hallelujah. And the way I love others will reflect the way I love myself. So we're a mirror image. And who are we looking at? Are we loving like Jesus? Jesus back at us? It's vice versa. God is love. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, his nature and character. God's spirit is God's nature and character in us to live, to guide us and grow us so that we can develop and cultivate who he is through us, right? Fruit takes time to grow. And how do we grow our fruit? Through discipline and obedience. It takes time. So long-suffering is a fruit.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering.
And it really is a necessary character to have in order to develop and grow spiritually and develop through some things that sometimes are really hard, you know?
So you're referring to scripture about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, and says judge people by their fruit,
amen,
not by their gifts.
Amen.
Judge,
amen.
You don't judge people by their gifts because there's a lot of gifted people with no fruit.
Amen. That's right. So if God loves, if God's love is expressed through Jesus and Jesus is the word, the way, the truth, the life, then the unloving spirit is an antichrist because it goes against God's word. It is not the way, not the truth, and has no life. I felt like I was the walking dead when I was living before Christ, really. And even on, I mean, yeah, there might have been good days, but I mean, and you know, I put down certain things, but there was still that heaviness that would come upon me. You know, the nature and character of the unloving spirit is evil, the father of evil, of pride, the opposite of love. It's life backwards. It's life backwards. Think about it. Evil is life backwards. Read it, right? E-V-I-L-I-L-I-V-E. So,
and when you're talking about spirits, they all work together. So when you, like rejection, when you get rejected, the unloving spirit's right there with self-pity.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
And that's why they say even when you do deliverance and you clean out the house, you have to be very, very careful. You want to fill it with God's word, with his will, his ways, his character. Otherwise, they come in droves.
Yes, they get rid of the landing strip.
Yes, get rid of the landing strip.
If they don't have a landing strip, then they...
Amen. So the unloving spirit tells us the opposite of what is true about God. It is a liar and deceit and a deceitful spirit. It is the biggest obstacle that keeps us from love. It keeps us from being able to love God, being able to receive love from God, others, ourselves, and others, and draws others to reject us because it's like a repellent. No, nobody wants to be around it. You know, it's not, it doesn't draw people in, and God's love draws people in. So I just want to end that teaching there, and I just want to remind people that if you do want prayer or you want to talk, you can call me, 631-745-7980. I can give you Zoom information. We started Saturday's group again at 9 a.m., Coffee with Christ. And also, if you want to come on Wednesdays to Treasure Coast Victory Center, I think I'm going to be doing something there soon. But you can call me for more information. And at the Love Center Workforce Discipleship, if you want any information, you can call me, 631-745-7980. If you know someone who's struggling with housing because they can't afford, it's affordable living. There is some requirements, so you can call and we can get you through the process. So with that, we'll pray out. And I want to tell everybody that's listening, we're just so happy you're with us. And I pray that everyone hearing my voice receives today. So, Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we get the opportunity to share your love and your wisdom and your word with others as they listen. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you have your way with each and every person listening today, and that they are blessed and that they are inspired and encouraged to go out and spread the kingdom of God everywhere they go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I agape you. Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead. Wash me anew in the wine of your blood. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I